But we want to discuss this afternoon about becoming that new person, or putting on that new man. And Paul deals extensively with this in the fourth and the fifth chapters of the book of Ephesians. If you'll turn there with me, and beginning in the 24th verse, I think that we can follow systematically through the fourth and the fifth chapters how that Paul describes that we can put on the new man. Now, I think that we can understand what it means to put something on. Most of us, in the mornings when we jump out of bed and perhaps we shower and we have our clothes ready, and we will put those clothes on. And we are now wearing those clothes, and we are identified with the clothes that we're wearing. We know that many times when we have a missing person, they'll say that this person had such and such a hair color, and they had their eyes were such a color, and perhaps their height was so much, and their body build was so much, and perhaps they were wearing such and such a clothing. So therefore we're identified by what we wear. And the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4 and the 24th verse says, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now Paul had begun the Ephesian letter by talking to these folks about the mighty power of God, according to the working of His mighty power, he said, "which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet," Paul said, "and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church," which is what? Which is His body. So we have that body signification of the church, and Paul begins to talk about that, and he comes down here in Ephesians chapter 4 and says, "You need to put on that new man." Jesus has created a new body, and that new body is the church, and you need to put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul said, "Now if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." So we realize that when we're born into God's family and we become a member of God's body and a member of God's church, that we're invited to become something different than what we were. We may have been a slanderer. We may have been a curser or an accuser. We may have been a stealer. We may have been a liar. We may have been all kinds of different things in our former life. But Paul says that God invites us to be something new. And it begins with putting on the new man. Now, unless you're a child, you clothe yourself. I know that our little ones, we'll see mother lay out the clothes for the little one, and we'll see mother get them up in the morning and put their clothes on them. But here Paul says that we need to put something on ourselves, that you put on the new man. Now, as we go through this, you'll notice that there's two parts to this. The first part is changing our relationship with people and material things. The second part of this is changing our relationship with ourself and with God. And we'll notice that as we go through this. The part one, changing our relationship with people and material things, goes right on down there in verse 25. And here Paul says that we need to make truth our objective. In other words, he's saying, let truth impact the way that we relate to each other. Now what he's saying is, I may have had a tendency in the past to kind of smooth things over, maybe tell a little white lie or whatever. Paul said you need to stop that. If you're going to put on the new man, which in God is created in righteousness and true holiness, if you're going to pattern yourself after Jesus, you have to realize that Jesus don't lie. God don't lie. So the very first thing that he says here is, in our relationship to people, be truthful. And he says it like this in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now you may say, well, brother, does it hurt to tell a little white lie? Well, you know, I don't know what that is. I've heard that all of my life. May have even used it a time or two when I was younger. But if you think about it, what is a little white lie? You know, Jesus said to certain Jews at one time, he said, you're of your father the devil, and your father's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar from the beginning and a father of it. Well, you see, lying is what led Mother Eve into deception and away from God. And through her impedance to her husband, led him away as well. But here Paul says you need to speak the truth. That means that your thoughts, you think what's right and true, and then when you talk what's right and true. You don't lie to one another. He says, put away lying. Put away lying. Now, a person may say, well, what do you mean by putting away lying? Well, you know, let's think of it this way. When we talk about putting away our wife or putting away our husband, we understand what that means, don't we? That means that that person is no longer a couple to us in marriage. We no longer support that person. We no longer work hand in hand with that person. We no longer share our lives. We put away that person. Well, Paul says, look, you need to divorce lying. You need to put away lying and begin to speak the truth with your neighbor, for we're members one of another. So putting on the new man begins with speaking the truth. In verse 26, he says that be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here he's saying, control anger and your temper. Correct situations that cause anger each day. That's what Paul's saying. Now, does Paul say that it's wrong to get angry? Paul didn't say that it was wrong to get angry, but Paul said if you're angry, make sure that you don't sin. Now, this one was a hard one for me, and I still have to work on this one at times because I've been known to have a pretty bad temper. And I have to work on that, and knowing that and realizing that, then you try to make sure that when you begin to get flustered and angry, that you try to make sure that you don't say something you hadn't ought to say or think something you hadn't ought to think or do something that you hadn't ought to do. Paul says, if you're angry, don't sin. Control your temper. Correct situations that caused anger each day. You know, it's very difficult for us to think clearly when we're controlled by anger. You know, the writer says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I'll tell you a little story that my uncle told me one time. He was suffering. He knew that he was getting ready to die. We had went down to visit him. He's a gospel preacher. My wife and I had just gotten married, and we went down. We were visiting my uncle, and we were sitting in his house, and we were talking. And he was praising us and our devotion to God and how that we were building our marriage on God and upon godly principles. And he said, listen to me. He said, don't ever go to bed mad at one another. He said, you make sure that if you get angry, if you're upset with one another, you talk through that. And you correct that before you go to bed, and it's worked good for us, ain't it, honey? It sure has. What he was saying was what Paul was saying here. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So speak the truth, and if you're angry, don't let it cause you to sin. Putting on the new man. Then verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, don't allow the devil or his devices to enter your domain. He says, neither give place to the devil. That means don't retreat within yourself, within your mind, within your body, within your house, within those things that you control. Don't retreat and give place to the devil. You control that. You allow God to control that. He has no business entering your mind, entering your body, or entering your domain or your space. Don't give place to the devil. We have to reflect strength. And Peter in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 said that we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. And we need to resist steadfast in the faith, putting on the new man. And then in verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that we need to be honest in our dealings with people and material things. He says that we need to view material stuff as a means of helping others. And he said it like this: let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, instead of seeking to serve yourself, you're seeking to serve others. So Paul said, before you put on that new man, you may have had a habit of going out here and taking something that didn't belong to you. You may have coveted things. You may have been like Achan was in the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold and the silver. You may have looked and you may have saw and you may have desired and you may have put forth your hand and taken that. Paul said, don't do that anymore. You know, you may have been guilty of that in the past, but don't do that no more. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. You know, that's good advice, isn't it? Putting on the new man. And then he says in verse 29, to change your conversations. Change your talking. And he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And you know what struck me as I was studying this yesterday and preparing for today? What struck me was the Apostle Paul here is saying, you control what you say. Did you get that? He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, if you don't control that, then how do you control that? Paul says, don't let it happen. In other words, work to control what you say. But he says, what should come out of our mouths is that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, the intentions of our conversations change. In the past, the intent of our conversations may have been to corrupt, may have been to hinder, may have been to talk about someone, may have been to gossip, may have been to stir up strife, may have been for all kinds of different reasons. But Paul said, don't do that no more. If you're going to put on the new man, you can't do that because, you see, he don't do that. God doesn't do that, and Jesus doesn't do that. So he says, change your conversation when you put on the new man. Then in verse 31 and verse 32, we could deal with this an entire... We could probably split this up, Brother Mack, into four or five lessons. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. But he says here, to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. There's those words, put away again. Do we recall what that means? It means that we don't have any dealings with that anymore. Put away from you with all malice. Now look what he cataloged here, bitterness. We don't need to be bitter against other people. Wrath. You know, wrath is anger stirred up, isn't it? Wrath is something where that you have allowed anger to cultivate itself into misdeeds and misactions. Then he says anger and clamor. When I think of clamor, I think about the rattling of pots and pans. It's just a big noise, and it's not doing anyone any good. Evil speaking, he said, be put away from you along with all malice or ill feelings towards others. You know, when I was thinking about this yesterday, I said, you know, that's kind of like a spring cleaning of the soul. In the spring, we know that we would like to get all the rugs out and beat the the winter's dirt out of them. We like to maybe wash things down and clean things up. And the Apostle Paul saying, get all of this stuff out of your life and put it away. Put it away from you. And then, he says in verse 32, what are we supposed to do? You know, we can't just tell people all the time what they can't do. We need to tell them what they should do. So after Paul said the things we need to put away, he talked about some things we ought to draw in. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He's saying reflect on the relationship with that God has with us and imitate that with each other. What kind of relationship do we want to have with God? How do we want God to view and treat us? Well, we want God to be kind to us, don't we? We want God to be tender-hearted towards us. We want God to forgive us. Well, he said, that's what we should do to each other. So we should reflect on our relationship with God and imitate that in our relationship with each other. So we've looked at part one, which is changing our relationship with people and material things. And then in chapter 5, he continues this thought. Now remember, the Bible, when it was written, it was not written in chapters and verses. So sometimes thoughts carry over into the next chapter or part of a chapter. And so it is here. The Apostle Paul continues in chapter 5 with what he was talking about in chapter 4, and that's putting on the new man. And in verse 1, he says, begin to follow God as a child follows its parents. Now you think about a little one that follows its parents around. If it loses sight of mommy or it loses sight of daddy, it gets scared and it begins to yell for its parents so that they can listen to it. And you know, mothers, you know as well as I do that they can be 500 kids in an auditorium and you'll hear yours if it yells. And so the Apostle Paul says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. So, in changing our relationship with God or with self and God, we no longer follow our selfish interests. We no longer go the paths that we want to go. We no longer do the things that interest us, but we follow God wherever He leads. If that means that He leads us to a sick bed, or if He leads us to a nursing home, or if He leads us to a worship service, or if He leads us to a prayer meeting, or if He leads us to a Bible study, we follow God just like a child does its parents. And then in verse 2, he says, now think about this, in verse 2 of chapter 5, he says, with love as the only motive, serve others daily. You think that many times we may do things with ulterior motives. I do this because I want this to happen. Well, Paul here says, and walk in love, that means live daily, a life of love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Have you ever done something for someone and you may have went out of your way and you may have prepared and you may have spent time and energy and money and you're really happy that you're able to do for this person and you offer this to this person and they don't respect it? Kind of hurts your feelings and you may even say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, think about this. Let's think of it this way. An offering may be accepted or refused, but a sacrifice is made nonetheless. And the sacrifice is where the blessing comes in for you. When you make time and you make energy and you make devotions to help other people and other things, that's where your blessing comes in because your motive is love. And that's, if you think about it, think about before you became a child of God, how often you spurned what Jesus did for you. But Jesus kept giving, didn't he? He kept bringing it, and he kept presenting it, and he kept giving it until one day, you know what? You appreciated what he did for you.
And you know what his motive was? He loved you. So Paul says, with love as the motive, serve others daily. And then in verse 3, he says we need to make sure that we keep ourselves clean in our thoughts, which manifest themselves in deeds. And look what he says here. But fornication, now the one version may say sexual immorality, and that encompasses anything that is deprived in a sexual orientation. He says fornication, all uncleanness. The people say, well, what's uncleanness there? Well, I might be able to get away with something. Maybe they don't really know. You know, we can tell if our face is dirty when we look in the mirror. We can tell if our feet's dirty before we put on our socks. We can tell if our fingernails are dirty. We should be able to tell if something is dirty in a spiritual standpoint. So Paul says, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, that means that you're desiring something that belongs to another. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, he says, saints don't act like that. And then in verse 4, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, he's saying that sexual immorality, greed, dirty talking, making fun of others, it begins first in our hearts, and it's a reflection of how we feel about one another. And so Paul is saying, look, keep your thoughts and your speech and your actions pure and behave just like God wants His children to behave. Then in verse 15 of putting on the new man, Paul says, be careful each day. He says, see then that you walk circumspectfully, or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does that word circumspectfully mean, or circumspectly mean? It means the carefulness that we walk in the things that we attempt to do each day. We're very careful about where we place our foot, or where we place our mind, or where we place our tongue. We're very careful with our actions each day. What that means to me is that each day we are trying to please God instead of ourselves. You know, when I was a child growing up, and I've got my share of whippings, and I've needed a lot of them, probably needed more than what I got. But there comes a point in your life where that just a look from your parents is the worst punishment that you could ever get. Or a scolding or something like that. And what that means is that you've come to respect your parents to the point to where that you want your life to honor them. And so that's what Paul is saying here, that we want to walk carefully each day, that we don't reproach God, we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, we don't anger them, but we want to please them in our thoughts and our actions. And we're careful to maintain that good name that we're called by. Then in verse 16, Ephesians 5 and verse 16, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, ladies, what does it mean to redeem something? We know what it means when we redeem a coupon, because we get the value of that coupon against what we've purchased. And so what Paul is saying here is that we make the most of every opportunity. And sometimes we have to sift through the evil of the days to find the opportunities. But Paul's saying, make the most of every day for God. And some days are going to be more productive than others. But he's saying, make the most of every day as you try to walk the Christian life. Then in verse 17, again, putting on the new man. Putting on the new man, that's what we're talking about. Paul's telling us how to do that. Here in verse 17, he says, learn what God wants. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Learn what God wants. And you may ask the question, is the will of the Father or is the will of the Lord important? Paul says that it is. He says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can you learn that? How can you learn what God's will is? Well, God gave us the Bible, didn't He? God gave us the church. God gave us Jesus Christ. God gave us each other. God's given us the examples of all those that have gone before us. And so therefore, God has given us His will. Many times we refer to the New Testament as the last will and testimony or testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's His will. That's what He wants to be done. And then in Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, leave alcohol alone. You know, there's been many of folks try to justify drinking and justify social drinking. Let me tell you something, children, you don't need that stuff. You just don't need it. And I can find many, many instances in the Word of God where it says, you can get in trouble by fooling around with that stuff. Ask Noah. Ask Lot. The writer of the book of Proverbs says that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I don't want to have anything to do with that stuff that can deceive me. And here, look what Paul says. Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But what can we be drunk with? You want to be drunk with something? He says, be filled with the Spirit. You want to become intoxicated? Intoxicate yourself with the Word of God. Can't get hurt with that. Can't get hurt by filling yourself up with God and with Christ or the church. But we can get hurt fooling around with that old alcohol, can't we? Putting on the new man. In verse 19, he says, share your convictions with each other. Share that. And that's what the church is all about. Y'all edify me and build me up. I edify y'all and build you up. We help each other. If I do wrong, you tell me about that. If I see wrong, then I'll tell you about it. And it's all about a family of God trying to get to heaven together. That's what it's all about. And so in verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a question over at Bowen this morning about whether or not we could sing a song. And I said, well, we can read it. You know, we can read the song. May not be able to carry a tune in a bucket. May not be able to get the tune of it, but we can read it. And we can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then we might be able to learn how to sing it. With grace to our hearts, or singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. But here he's saying, the reason for that is that we want to edify and share what we believe with one another. We can do that in songs, we can do that in speaking to one another. All of these various things, putting on the new man. And then look how he ends Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll soon come to a close here. But do you realize that when you put on the new man, that it's going to impact your relationship with your spouse and with your family? Because Paul ends up the Ephesian letter, Ephesians chapter 5 anyway, there's six chapters there, but he ends up Ephesians chapter 5 by saying, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is also the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. And that's what the Word of God has to say about it. But then He comes back to the man, and He says, husbands, in verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Men, you should love your wives enough that you would die for them. That's what Paul says. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives or their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Then he says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. For you see, when we put on the new man, it changes our relationship to self and also to God. Putting on the new man. I invite you to read more of Ephesians and think about the things that we ought to not do and the things that we ought to do. In putting on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. If there's one in the audience tonight that needs to become a child of God, You have the opportunity to do that. The Bible says that we need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. If there's any that strayed away from God has not been faithful, then we're told that we need to repent and pray, and we'll do that with you and for you if you'll let us know what your needs are. As together we stand and as we sing.